Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for being here today. It's been a while. I always want to give thanks for you allowing me to stand before you and speak to you from the Word. I thank you that it was the congregation that invited me to be ordained, that I can now stand before you as a pastor. I still haven't gotten my mind wrapped around it. I love you all, and I thank you all, and I'm just so happy to be here today. Father God, I pray for your anointing. I pray that this message would be your message, that you would use me, but that it would be you. And this message is about that, Lord. It's about how we need you. We can't do it without you. And so we call upon you. I call upon you now to be with us, amongst us, within us, guiding and directing us and opening us up to what you have for us today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is Meritocracy. Now, you know, recently we've been watching the Olympics, and you get to watch the competition. You get to see, at times, beautiful, incredible effort. Years and years and hours of practice and effort to perfect a routine or a sport. It's a great accomplishment. But that's in the world. But it's also what we do. I start with Proverbs. This is one of my favorite, 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. I'll be coming back to this again and again. So, without scorekeeping, how do you know? I mean, it's a new thing now. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by calling them a loser. But you miss the opportunity to seek a goal, to attempt to reach the heights. Where's the motivation to win if it's not even going to be recognized? We experience this in our maturing in Christ. What about healthy competition that pushes everyone to do a little better? Teamwork, working together to accomplish a goal. What happens to these when there's no reward, when there's no measuring of the accomplishment? How do we find the best person for the job if we're not even going to compare how well each does? We all have something that we're supposed to do. God has a plan for our lives, and therefore we're looking for what God's will is for our lives. Our giftedness, or maybe just what our calling is. We might not be the greatest at something, but that might be what God has placed us in a certain place to do. What He has planned for us in advance. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. This deals with self-discipline. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." I think he speaks directly to the effort it requires. He speaks directly to the goal. What's the aim? Where are we headed? What are we to do? And then there's this odd sort of statement about striking a blow to my body. Well, I think if we think about this, and training, and in the effort that it takes to practice and reach a point where you become proficient, this is a physical effort. It's also a mental effort. It's not that you're punishing yourself, but you're putting your body through, you're putting your mind through the effort to accomplish that goal of getting better at whatever it is that you're doing. It's a necessary effort. We use this kind of effort when we seek to mature in Christ. The goal of maturing in Christ is much like perfecting a skill. But what it really is deepening the relationship, building the relationship, learning to lean on Him.
Amen.
Now, there's a consideration of what is the most important, and I like to turn to Luke 10, 38 to 42. This is Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." That's a little audacious. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her." So this points us in a direction. Yeah, we can look at the physical effort of things. You know, I worked in construction most of my life, and I know what it is to put that full effort. It's a mental and a physical effort to accomplish a goal. For me, it was to finish a job often and to get paid. Now I'm in the restaurant, and I'm working overnight, and the effort is to get through the night. It's a bit of endurance. You know, the Bible tells us again and again and again that it is through the effort of enduring that we develop patience and perseverance. We mature in Christ and develop these skills by His power. And that's the theme. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter to the full light of day. I think this is so beautiful when you ponder and consider that you're starting from a starting point. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun. So when we have dawn and the sun begins to rise, breaks through the darkness, you can consider that the birth, your second birth, your second life, when you receive Christ and are born again, as he tells us, it's a beginning. You are an infant in Christ, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. There's a scripture on the wall over here that I believe explains this very well.
Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That to me is the church. That to me is this body.
We support each other. We work together. We mature together. We find our skills or our calling or our gifts together, and we seek to use them to help each other and to reach the world. This is the church. This is what is required. We shine ever brighter till the full light of day. It just said, to the fullness of Christ. That's the goal. To become like him, to let him grow in us. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And so, we got to mature, but it's also carrying your cross. Now, the scripture of Matthew 11, 28 to 30, we hear it so often. We love this scripture. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's several images in here to describe what we're doing. When I say that the scripture tells us to take up our cross and carry it, well, he's saying that you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And when you look at that image of the yoke, or carrying a cross, there has a similarity to it. What are we carrying? What is the burden that we carry? We carry the burden of our sin and our life experience. I mean, this is not easy. We go through a lot of stuff. And when we're saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is that we can lay that upon him. We're carrying our cross, we're wearing that yoke, but it is being given unto him that we can have rest for our souls. And then there's something more. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what's the yoke do with an animal of burden? Guide and direct. You have a pilot, you have a person driving, if it was a cart, oxen in the cart, or horses with a coach. And as you're driving along, the driver pulls the reins one way or the other. You go to the left or to the right. They pull both and you're supposed to slow down or stop. Well, when we're seeking the will of God and we're seeking to follow the will of God and we're paying attention, what's it say? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. As we're being tugged in the direction, if we're paying attention, we're looking for what he's telling us or showing us to do, we learn. I love this image of the horse that is put onto the path and sent. They will go home. They will go home because they know the path. They have learned the path. And this is us. This is the way. Jesus is the way. He shows us the way. When we pay attention, over time, as we're maturing in him, and as we're learning and growing, it becomes easier to see the path he's prepared for us. And it's so much more rewarding to take the path he has prepared for us. You know, I always have to say, people think that by submitting to the will of God, they're giving something up. But it's what you gain. When you submit to the will of God and discover what he has in store for you, it's so much better than anything you could imagine for yourself. It is your best life. This is our best life. Being here today and enjoying each other's company, the spirit of faithfulness and camaraderie that we have, that's joy. That's love. And that's what God gives us when we follow this path. So, what's the way? How do we do this? One more. John 15. Vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So in the world, for an athlete, and for us when we have our own endeavors, we might work to get better at something. But when it becomes the will of God, when it becomes his purpose for our lives, that thing that we've been prepared in advance to do, that is always completely the answer, depending on Christ. But I find this so terrible and interesting at the same time. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And then the other place it talks about being cast into the fire, trampled underfoot. No good for anybody. Just go to the dirt. And then it's a little stronger yet. but every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, when I think about that, I think about something pretty violent. I mean, you know, we don't want to think about lopping off limbs. That's limbs we're lopping off. But it's those parts of us that don't fit the pattern that he has put within us. The thing that he has created us to be. Every single one of us, it's pure joy to know that every single one of us has a purpose, has a pattern that he provided in the beginning. Life in the world, you're born into a mess. And as you grow, you see, you look around, life experience, gonna make mistakes, gonna have problems. We all are born into a mess because even the best families are gonna have problems. We all experience things in the world to kind of show us this ain't it. We need something else. Where is that something else? So, just like that sun coming up in the morning and just breaking through the darkness, it's a beginning. And when we see that the Lord is here, when we hear, Pastor Chris used a beautiful piece of scripture this morning in our prayer about how can they hear unless someone preaches, and how can they preach unless they are called. We all have a calling. We all have a purpose to share the gospel. We can do it with our lives. We can do it with our words. We can do it in our actions. And we can do it by our example. All these things are part of how we share the good news. So, when parts are being lopped off, it's the unnecessary stuff. We can have fun, we can have joy, we can have entertainment. There's nothing wrong with that. I love this saying that my mom gave me a plaque that says, I ask God for all things that I could enjoy life. God gave me life that I could enjoy all things. He tells us it's good. The creation is good. There is good in the world to be found. And we can be part of that good with Him. We don't do it on our own. This is the whole point of the message, that we need to be in the vine. Remain in me as I also remain in you. That's that faithfulness again. He's telling us, I'm there with you. I'm there for you. Be with me. I am with you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. He just said, I want you to bear the fruit. And if you're not bearing the fruit, we're going to get rid of that part. Not that you're going to have to be cut off completely. Those branches, I always have an opportunity to come back. The beauty of God and His will and His mercy and His love is that no matter what direction we may fall into, there's always one step back. He's always there waiting for us. He always wants us to be reunited. He wants us to come back to Him. He's like the father calling to a child to come forward. Come to me and receive your rest. So, we get pruned so that we can be even more fruitful. What happens? Well, let's think about a vine and the branches and that sap that's flowing through there. The power of God, the love of God. That's the juice that powers us in our spiritual lives. It's the opportunity to put out new shoots, to find the new things that we can do that would help and help mature us in Christ. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I love the way he's just repeating. You know, the thing that we've discovered in our Bible studies is that throughout the Bible and even throughout our lives, God is constantly reinforcing the truth. He's sharing the truth in ways from different angles, from different representations, from different symbols examples that would tell us this is also true. We see it from different angles. I know there's another word I'm looking for, but hey, I was up for 12 hours. Give me a break. Okay. Anyway, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so that's what it's about. What's that fruit? Well, it could be our maturing, growing and producing. Fruit could be sharing of the word and bringing others to Christ, being able to share the good news and have the Holy Spirit use that effort to reach others and new people. And thankfully, we've seen new people coming in here. We're so glad to have this group that we know that we have come together in that vine, that we have come together in that love and glory and mercy. The fruit can also be your outreach. Look at what First Baptist is doing with a radio broadcast, with the Voices of Philadelphia, with other airwaves, which you will be hearing about, that we are doing messages that are being spread out. And we know we're bearing fruit because we are getting results. We're hearing from people. I heard your message. I heard your commercial. I heard your podcast. There's all this beauty that comes from that fruit that is being borne out by the efforts of this small body. Philadelphia Bible Society. We're reaching more and more people, sharing the gospel, sharing these tracts. It's all maturity. It's all growing. It's all fulfilling. It is all bearing fruit on the vine. But it all comes from one place, Jesus Christ. And I have to admit, I've never been good about it. You call it an altar call. And you know, you can never assume that everybody knows what it is. You can never really be sure that the person right next to you knows Jesus. Do you really know Jesus? Are you remaining in Him? Is He in you? Have you made that step to be that first light of dawn, that you might have opportunity to grow brighter and brighter as He becomes more you and you become more Him? If you don't have the Savior, you're living in darkness. And the next verse says, they don't even know what makes them stumble. They need to hear, as Pastor Davis said this morning. How are they going to know if they don't hear? How are they going to hear if someone doesn't preach? How are they going to be a preacher unless they are called? So once again, I thank you for this opportunity. And I say, the one decision that matters the most, it is what life is all about. Jesus is the purpose and the center point of all creation. It was here for Him to do what He did to reclaim us, to redeem us, to give us the opportunity to do what we are doing now. Without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, He can accomplish incredible things through us. So I ask you, maybe you're listening to the recording on the website. If you hear these words, make the decision. Let Him know that you know what He did for you. That it is by His blood on the cross that you now have freedom from sin, the cleansing of sin, new life, and the opportunity to accomplish all the things that I've talked about today in His power, thanks to His love, mercy, and His fulfillment of all prophecy and His submission to the Father's will. I ask you to do the same as I seek to do myself in whatever way possible. Father God, I thank you again. This is an honor, and I just try to give what you give me, and I pray, Lord, that it would reach the people you would have it reach. I know that your word does not go out and come back empty, that it accomplishes what you mean it to do. And so I ask you, Lord, that whatever you have been able to accomplish, that it would go forth and do whatever possible work it can do to accomplish your goal, your will, that we would mature and grow in you and to fulfill our purpose and find our best life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.